Will you pray with me? Holy One, we long to hear your voice. May we hear echoes, therefore, in what is sung today and what is said, in spite of our words or because of them. Amen. The writer of Acts, who we think is Luke, says, "So when they had come together, they asked him, 'Lord, is this the time when you will restore the kingdom of Israel?' And he replied, 'It is not for you to know the times or periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses.'" Does anybody really know what time it is? Anybody remember that song? Does anybody really care? It's by Chicago. It also says, "I can't imagine why, because there's time enough to cry." The theme at the regional conference this year was, "For such a time as this." And we were asked this question, "What time is it?" And we were asked to pray and then to answer. And so I'm going to give you 1 minute to pray and think. I'm not going to ask you to shout out or anything, just pray and think. And bring yourselves back with us. At conference, we sit in table groups, and we were asked to share some of our ideas. And so here were just some of the ideas from our table group. Is it 10 minutes? Remember, these were supposed to be answers. Instead, almost all of them were questions. Is it 10 minutes to midnight, or is it the darkness before the dawn? Is it time for grief or time for hope? Is this the beginning of the end? Is it time for hoarding or spending lavishly? Is the world really going to end in flood and fire? I like this one. Is it time for our children to rise up and wrest power from the powerful? Is it time for the singing of praise music? Or time to sing the songs we all know and can sing? I would like to leave you today not with an answer, but with images from that time that both brought me joy and which made me pause and wonder. So here is the first. We are time travelers. Now, many of you know I'm a huge Doctor Who fan. So for Dr. Who fans, we are traveling in time and relative dimensions in space. We arrive and step through a doorway and do not know when we enter or exit, what time we are in. What time are these other people living in? And it's not as simple as saying, well, of course, it's 2019. Do you live in the computer age? Do we live in the age of the Handmaid's Tale? Is this the Christian era or the post-Christian era, or did we ever have a Christian era? Have I walked into a room with people whose minds are set on the now? the future, the past, the actual past or the imagined past, a time of plenty or a time of scarcity. What time is it in the room I'm in? In this room, is time passing all too quickly, or are we waiting so anxiously for the time to come? Whenever I step into a different space, I step into a different time, a different way of perceiving what's happening. Some examples. An informal survey of our city council, not some New York City, ours, showed that when there were an equal number of women and men in the room, if the women spoke more than 1/5 of the time, the men believed the women had taken up too much time. Perceptions of time. An image from the conference. It has been decreed that all ministers and all congregations shall register. Does this sound a little bit like a Christmas story? Shall register online with descriptions of themselves and their communities. And so I went to the tutorial. And we were lined up because we were supposed to have individual tutorials. And the person in front of me was sitting at the computer trying to enter the information for her community that is in search process for a new minister. Her community only just got high-speed internet, and she doesn't know how to use a mouse. What time is it? Where does the time go? It's not just a saying by a wondering grandparent, but that's a real question. Where does it go? It's gone. Where did it go? Is this the time for contemplation or celebration or calculation? And what time is it here now? And the image I leave you with from that is the opening of the door to a time you aren't prepared for and weren't expecting. And it might be the past. So here's another powerful image from the past few days. Representatives of the Kwantlen people came to do a welcome to the land, and they dressed in traditional dress. They wore beautiful woven hats of cedar and ceremonial blankets. And in an amazing and moving series of speeches, a new young chief, 23 maybe, told his grandmother's story of the past. And the grandmother told us the story of the future she imagines for her grandchildren. And both told us that it is the time for love, not blame. And they offered to us love, respect, welcoming, and companioning. Now, the room was cold, really cold, over air-conditioned, and all of us were shivering. And in a powerful and unexpected happening, Grandfather took his blanket, the one he wore for ceremony, handmade, and went to wrap an older woman he had never met, who was shivering in the cold before him. And he said, "This is a gift for your healing. A time for love, respect, welcoming, and companioning." Another image from the scripture that was read there. Well, it wasn't read, actually, it was performed. It was lovely. When Noah and his family and all the animals had been many days and weeks on the ark, and the rain had ceased to fall, Noah took raven, yes, and that is actually in the story. We think of the dove. The raven doesn't get respect. Took raven and sent raven into the sky to find land. After so many days and weeks huddled in the ark, against the rain and pressed into a small space. Raven spread her wings and soared over the face of the waters. And the sun at last shone on her wings, and her reflection soared within the water below. But she found no place to light. And on Friday morning, the wonderful Beverly Brazier, who's the minister of Whitehorse United Church, spoke to us about that image and that story. And she said, "We are in Raven time, where we look for a place to light, but still the sun shines on our wings and the reflection of our soaring moves in the waters. And there is whole new hope in wherever we choose to light." And here is the image for this day. "For this is the time, the celebration of the feast of the Ascension of Christ, the celebration of a day when we are told that Jesus was lifted bodily from a bodily life among us. And when the eyes of the disciples were lifted from the human place and time to the glory of God." You can spend a lot of time breaking that story apart. But that's not what this is about. It's the time to look to the image of the rising Christ. In that moment, the disciples found themselves in a wholly unexpected time, when the earth and the heavens met, and God's time was manifest, breaking into human expectations, and the battle did not come. When Christianity met Greek philosophy, Christian scholars took up two Greek definitions of time: chronos time, from which we get the word chronometer or watch, clock, and kairos. Chronos, and that means linear time, the one you can count. Kairos means the right time, the critical time, the opportune time. And Christian scholars added to that word crisis, kairos, the sense of a sacred time. God's time is the right time. Whatever time we are in, whichever room we have stepped into unexpectedly, whether it's the time-pressured space of a test, or of resolve, or our skills, or the dragging time of waiting for news, or the time in which our present expectations are at odds with the sense of time of the others in the room, whatever the chronos time or perception, it is also always kairos time, the right time, the critical time, the opportune time for heaven and earth to meet. And it is the time to cultivate, therefore, a culture of curiosity, so that when we walk into those rooms, we are able to listen. The Kwantlen people told us that they have a saying, which is, "Don't listen with painted ears. Instead, listen to learn." We have been taught a culture of telling others what to do, and assuming we already know what should be done, because not knowing is considered embarrassing. But of course we don't know. How would we know? We haven't learned. It was a time when a young Kwantlen chief spoke powerfully of past and offered love, respect, welcome, and opportunity for a future. Did not wait for us to offer. And in that time, I became more curious. What gift of grace have these people been given that they could welcome us with such words and such sincerity, given our past? When an old man wraps an old woman in a precious blanket against the cold, it made me curious. What was the story of the blanket? What love and care and handiwork went into its making? Who made it? It was not a woman I knew. Who was she? And what did she feel when the warmth of the blanket descended around her? is the time when the raven hovers over the face of the deep, waiting a place to light, while the sun shines on gleaming feathers. And so it is time for curiosity about the earth and the places we might light upon, what we need to learn in our waiting. It is the time when Christ rises and earth and heaven meet, when a 2,000-year-old story meets a much older story of the raven and enlivens our future and reminds us to keep our eyes on the rising Christ, not just the falling of fear. It makes us curious about what we will see if we keep our eyes on the horizon between heaven and earth and when our ears are open. And for this time, then, we may choose the image which will enliven us today, not trying to coordinate them all or rationalize them or tie them all together in a neat bow, but pulling out the one that speaks to us and sustains us when next we find ourselves in unexpected time. In Kairos time, the right time, the critical opportune time, God blesses us with a time beyond time, experience that is not dependent on time, and wisdom to know that not all of us live in the same time. God offers us a chance to create a culture of curiosity from which love and welcome and opportunity may come. May it be so. Amen.